Welcome to Net Support Radio. What are you waiting for? Join the discussion.
So I'm really pleased with our second guest we have today. We're very, very, very grateful for Colin for his time. So Colin Jeffs is head of BCM Assurance Availability Services at Daisy Corporate. I've known Colin for many years, top man when it comes to business continuity and resilience, and lovely to have you on our podcast this morning, Colin. Good morning.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for giving your time. You've worked for a range of really high-level and high-profile organisations, Colin. Perhaps for our listeners, you could just start by a little bit of a summary of how you've arrived in your current role.
Sure. I've worked in business continuity for over 25 years now, business continuity and crisis management. I've held very senior roles within both disciplines for many years at some fairly major financial institutions in the city. Basically got into business continuity from IT project management many years ago, where as part of implementing IT systems, we had to implement resiliency as part of it. And that area interested me greatly. So from there, moved into business continuity full time. In terms of some of the places I've worked before, I've worked at Commerce Bank, which is the second largest German investment bank in the world. I've worked at Dresdner Kleinwort Investment Bank, and I've also worked more recently at GE Capital Bank, so the UK banking arm of General Electric, where I was the UK head of BCM and crisis management.
So one way or another, you've been keeping our money safe for the last few years.
I've been trying to.
Absolutely. Well, that's important. But you've obviously got that big picture and exposure of some of those huge organisations and some of the considerations they have to take in place when it comes to BC and crisis management and resilience and those other topics. So you're best placed, I hope, today, Colin, just to share a few topics with us.
Absolutely.
And there's a few terms that sometimes we struggle with kind of defining in a broader sense. So could you tell us a little bit about, you know, from your perspective, global digital business?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, first of all, what I'd like to do is try to put the global digital business into perspective. I've got a few facts and figures for you. And whilst they do vary wildly, I think it's fair to say that the global digital business is huge. So, you know, I've got some facts here that as at January 2019, and most of these are credited to a gentleman called Simon Kemp, who's the CEO of Kepios and the chief analyst at Data Reportal. And he states that of the global population, there were 4.3 billion internet users and 5.1 billion unique mobile phones in 2019. And digital is growing rapidly, with internet users growing by 9.1%. That's 367 million people between 2018 and 19 alone.
Scary stats, isn't it? That speed of growth.
Absolutely. And you know, e-commerce itself is enormous, with 2.8 billion people purchasing consumer goods via e-commerce. And again, that's 3.1% up on the previous year as well. And if we look at the value of those consumer goods, you know, those consumer e-commerce goods, it's fairly scary figures. I mean, we're talking about $1.78 trillion, which is up 14% on the previous year.
And would you expect with current challenges with COVID-19, that in many ways will be a driver for us moving and accelerating quicker towards more global digital business, won't it?
I would absolutely say that's exactly what's happening at the moment. I mean, you know, you only have to look at some of the shops that you would normally go into on a regular basis. And at the moment, the only way you can get goods in those is via online purchasing. So, you know, absolutely, it's gonna really ramp up those figures quite dramatically, I would have thought.
So if you're an organisation and you're part of that global digital business network, and that's where you rely on for your transactional business, how do we kind of in an overview sense kind of pull that into a broader picture of business resilience and about planning for future and growth?
So, you know, business resilience is essentially planning for the future and making sure that your critical services and products, you know, are secure and can be can continue in unforeseen circumstances. And any business that doesn't have strategies and plans in place to support their critical infrastructure and critical services are at significant risk of failing should a major incident come knocking. And you only have to look at what's happening right now with COVID-19 around the world. You know, incidents do not wait for a business to prepare themselves for the worst. They just come knocking, you know, along whether you're ready or not. So there is an old but very, you know, good and great saying that sums this up better than any other in my world. And that is that if you fail to prepare, then you need to prepare to fail. And that's never been truer.
No, that seems very relevant at the moment, doesn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, in the business that I work in at Daisy, where we have we provide resiliency services to you know, incredibly large organisations all over the UK. We're finding that at the moment where people are coming to us because they weren't perhaps quite as ready as they should have been, or they're now starting to suddenly see the importance of the services that we provide. So, you know, it's happening all the time. But for me, knowing your business intimately is critical to riding out and overcoming any major incident. So if you know what's critical in your business and you know what those things need to continue, and if you put measures in place to protect them, you stand a far better chance of continuing to provide those critical services during an incident. So at its core, that is what business resilience is, although obviously there is a lot more to it than just that.
Absolutely. And do you think for some businesses that they don't necessarily reflect on their inward use of technology and digital tools and think the vulnerability lies with those that solely trade in a digital sense?
Yes, I do. So, I mean, you know, let me explain a little bit about why it's important for businesses to have a strategy in place to cope when things do go wrong. So, you know, in August 2019, there were large parts of England and Wales that were left without electricity following a major power cut. And that had a serious impact on rail and road services, including city traffic lights. And that was caused by a lightning strike on the grid that affected the Little Barford power station and the Hornsea offshore wind farm. And that was very closely followed by a double generator failure, which was unheard of at that point. And those outages occurred within seconds of each other, immediately after the lightning strike. And to put that into some sort of context, Ipswich Hospital lost power and a backup generator failed at the same time. And that impacted their outpatients, it impacted their x-rays and scans. And, you know, over 1.1 million customers of that electricity were without power for up to an hour.
So it's really about that strategy, thinking about absolutely the worst case, not just the expected challenges that the business might face.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I'm talking to my clients, you know, we always try to work to, you know, what's the worst case scenario? Because if you can cover the worst case scenario, everything, you know, sort of leading up to a worst case scenario, you're covered anyway. You'll be able to deal with far better.
That makes perfect sense. And I think it is one of those ones where we're all experts in hindsight on our businesses, but having that preparation now more than ever really highlights that need, because you don't often get the time to actually adapt once those challenges arrive. Mm. You know, so if I take in a broader sense, you know, lots of our businesses operate around the context of data. So why is understanding the criticality of your data so important?
So, look, there are so many different categories of data and so many different ways to store data that one storage strategy doesn't necessarily fit all. You know, I myself have been caught out by critical data that was stored on a file server along with many tens of terabytes of other non-critical data. And when we had a failure of that file server, we had to wait for the critical data to be restored along with all of the non-critical data. So, whereas we needed the critical data back within 4 hours, it took actually over 48 hours as we couldn't segregate the critical data and restore it separately from non-critical data. So as a result, critical services that depended on that data suffered a prolonged outage. You know, and if we had truly known what data was critical, we could have put in place a better system for storage and recovery to allow, you know, to have it being recovered not only first but faster and within the required timescales by the business.
So more in simplicity terms, understanding the criticality of your data allows you to prioritize and get those things back quicker.
Absolutely. There's no better way to understand that in my world than by performing what we call a business impact analysis, or as we call it, the acronym, a BIA. You know, with performing a BIA, you can identify what's critical in your business, what the IT systems, what IT systems are deemed as critical by the business, how quickly the business needs those systems back. Should they, you know, need to be recovered? Should they fail? So, you know, that's your recovery time objective, or your RTO, as the acronym goes. How much data the business can afford to lose from a system? That's the recovery point objective. So your RPO. What resources, what independencies they have, and who in the business is actually deemed as critical in terms of people. And that data provided by a BIA is pure gold when it comes to an incident. So if you haven't done a BIA, I can't recommend highly enough that you do one. And if you don't know how to do it, because it is a specialised process, then, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. We've had a lot of our clients who, when we've performed their BIAs for them during the COVID crisis, they've basically come back to us and said, this has been just absolutely invaluable, this data. So it really does prove to you how good that data can be to support you through an incident.
Now, you've just touched on the fact that you've supported some organisations, and obviously as part of your services at Daisy Group, you can undertake those BIAs. For somebody who's struggling right now, is it too late to undertake that process, or is now as good a time as any to actually be looking to do that assessment?
You can do that now. I guess when we perform a business impact analysis, we do face-to-face meetings. But that's not to say that you certainly couldn't do that remotely. In fact, you know, all of my consultants at the moment are currently working remotely because of the government guidelines. So we could absolutely do a BIA remotely and still get really relevant and you know, great data to help support your business. So absolutely not a problem at all.
So distancing aside, it's still a good time to get in touch if you want to talk about finding out a bit more about that service.
Absolutely.
We've covered a few different topics this morning, Colin, and I think probably a good one to kind of round up the points that you've shared is really about talking about how people can support their company's broader digital strategy in order to protect it effectively. And that ultimately is what we're trying to do, is trying to protect our organisations and businesses at these difficult times.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we deal with a lot of organisations in many different ways, such as providing crisis management exercises, performing their BIAs. We actually run an organisation's business continuity in its entirety. So we become their outsource partner to do that. But one of the main things we always tell people, you know, is when we're providing training to people, is get involved. So tell people if you think there is a problem, or you think that you would struggle to know what to do during an incident. And don't be afraid to question where data is stored and how long it would take to recover if the server that data resides on fails. So don't be afraid to ask what your role would be during an incident, because a lot of people become quite, they run around like headless chickens because they just don't know what to do. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask what your role is. But, you know, importantly, make sure you know what data is critical to you and why. So make sure you tell the right people how quickly you need that data back and the consequences of not getting it back in the required time frames. But for me, most importantly of all, though, is make sure you follow your company's IT security policies to the letter. Most of the cyber incidents that have occurred, you know, in the past are because a member of staff has clicked on something they weren't sure about or they shouldn't have. And you can have the best IT security in place, but cyber criminals at the moment are definitely becoming smarter and finding ways to breach a company's security wall.
That's a really, really salient point, because I think there's pressure on organisations right now who have suddenly seen their workforce move remotely. And now is a time where companies are much more likely to say, we need a quick fix, let's do something, without necessarily considering the security implications. And actually, ironically, rather than that speed and flexibility, now's the time to, as you say, to make sure that you don't inadvertently open up threats to your organization digitally.
Absolutely. You know, you can't just suddenly put a strategy in place without giving it, you know, due care and attention. You know, you need to think about it before you do that, because any strategy you put in place could have ramifications elsewhere. You know, we talked earlier about how putting all of your data, you know, in all your eggs in one basket essentially might cause issues elsewhere when you try to recover it. And the same goes for your security strategy. You know, if you don't put the right strategy in place, you could open up gaps elsewhere. So it's really worthwhile having a good think about it and make sure you get it right.
Wise words, and really, really appreciate your time, Colin. A good friend of NetSupport and someone that you absolutely should be listening to that advice and making sure now's the time to follow to the letter of law those security plans. Colin, thank you again for your time and wishing you and your family all the best.
No problem. Thank you very much, Al, and take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Thank you.
NetSupport Radio. Nothing else comes close.